That's right. Good afternoon, everybody. Hey, I'm Ann Eller right here with you. And we're getting ready for another afternoon with the Vintager, my one and only Jeff. That's right, right here on WCRS. We hope you're being able to check out our Facebook page, WCRS.AM Radio, because we are uploading pictures and a couple of videos on what we're going to be talking about. Also, I hope you'll be able to join us in our Facebook Live that we are going to do after the show. So it's the after show special Facebook Live that we'll be doing right after 5 o'clock. So make sure you stay right with us on WCRS. Well, how you doing today, Jeff?
Doing fine, Ann.
Are you?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you enjoying the afternoon here with us?
Always enjoy the afternoon when it's doors are locked. It's quiet.
It's quiet, yes, and we're doing this show. This is actually going to be one of our features on Wednesday afternoons, just so you'll be able to learn about the antiques from the expert here. Now, Jeff, we are going to be talking about today cut glass, and we're going to be talking about art glass. In particular, we're going to be talking about the artist Robert Held, and he has done fabulous work, but we used to know him when he sold to us out of the back of his car. But that's coming up, folks. Right now, what do you want to talk about? What can you tell us about cut glass, Jeff?
Well, number one is that it was never designed for the lower tiers of the economic spectrum. This was always expensive. But the other thing was that we had the finest glass in the world because we had the finest sand. And it ran from western Pennsylvania up through Ohio and up through Michigan. And all the glass companies, if anybody ever noticed, were basically western Pennsylvania, Ohio, and I'm talking about all of them. And the reason was that the glaciers had ground the rocks and things that they were in front of them and deposited this super long grain fine sand. And it was endless. The only thing that made it expensive was shipping. And quite frankly, J.P. Morgan came to an agreement with the glass manufacturers that made it to where it was profitable to ship finished wares all over the world from that central area of the country.
How did they ship them?
They shipped them in barrels, big wooden barrels filled with sawdust and things, and he reduced the rates on the basis of the weight. But instead of having a freight car full of ironworks or whatever, a lot of the barrel was nothing but air. Wow. Because they were keeping the glass from being damaged. And the shipping the glass was always a problem.
As though they always expected to have some breakage.
Always expected to have some breakage. And one of the things that jewelry stores around the country had the capability of was repairing and regrinding cut glass to take the nicks, the dings, and the chips out.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But the other part of that is that a lot of the jewelry stores were also where you went to buy your eyeglasses.
Right.
So they were already set up to grind glass. They knew how to work it, so they just expanded their repertoire to increase the income that they had off of crystal and the cut glass.
Now, cut glass, you were talking about Ohio, Steubenville?
Fine place for cut glass.
Yeah, there you go. So when you think about cut glass, that's what you think about.
Well, that is one of the major manufacturers, and that's one of the major areas. Cut glass, though, was circulated around the world. It started out in Western Europe, and then it just evolved into the United States as the German immigrants came in. They already took the technology with them, and they found this super fine sand that made the clearest of glass, without bubbles, without the inherent little color flaws or anything else. It's just super pure glass.
Now, Now, what about Waterford, though, Crystal?
Oh, Waterford's fine, but it was a special place. It was Waterford, the sand was created basically the same way, except it was created by ocean waves rather than a glacier.
Okay.
Now, cut glass is probably one of the most misidentified things there is. There's over 500 books written about cut glass.
Okay.
And the interesting thing about the books and the experts on cut glass is they all reference each other.
Everybody is an expert, and everybody uses everybody as an expert.
That's correct. And they have written books on cut glass since the 1800s, late 1800s, 1880s, 1890s, right on up through the 1920s, the 30s, the 40s. And the high point on antique cut glass was in the 1990s, quite frankly. And everything since then, it held its value for a while, and it right now is the best bargains there ever were in the last 70 years are right now on buying cut glass. But the biggest thing is that the identification and things are some of the most ridiculous interpretations of what is. They don't logic things out. They just reference another particular quote expert.
Okay.
Now, here's what we do. I always figured that the people that made it knew what the devil they were talking about.
Right.
And if they identified something as a particular object and particular usage, that was a lot more reliable than any book that
right.
was written for the sale idea of promoting and selling cut glass.
Okay.
What we have are the original catalogs.
Oh, wow.
With the description and what it was used for.
Now, that's really interesting, because there's a lot of misnomers, I understand, about things and what they're supposed to be used for.
Yes. Here's a simple one.
Toothpick holder, right?
And they're identified as such in a lot of these catalogs and a lot of these books that identify the values of cut glass and things. But when you really think about it, would you put toothpicks on a table for somebody to pick their teeth during a meal or after a meal?
Well, why not, Jeff?
Well, I can't picture anything more disgusting. However, these were never designed for that. They were designed for one of the things that they had were carrot sticks,
okay.
peppermint sticks, and they used a lot of sugar cane
sticks.
For their coffee sweeteners, and also just in between course.
You mean they'd suck on the sugar cane sticks?
Clear their palate.
Okay.
All right.
So that's what those were really created for.
That's what they were really created for, not toothpick holders. Now, you could use them for that.
Sure.
And here's another thing. Some people said, well, how would I know the age of this bronze and cut glass ashtray? Well, one of the easier ways to know is that when they cut glass to be an ashtray for cigarettes, you could put your little finger in it and the groove would be tight. When they were for cigars, which was almost all before 1900, you put your first finger in and it's tight.
This looks like it's more for cigars, this piece you have here.
This is for cigars, so you know that the probability is that this was made prior to 1900, before Duke actually started making the cigarettes for mass consumption.
Wow. And the cigars, of course, always were hand-dyed.
Cigars were always hand-rolled.
Sure.
All right. Now,
Well, how do you tell whether something is cut? I mean, I know some of this cut glass I could cut my finger on. This yeah. one doesn't appear to be as ability for me to cut it, but it definitely has deep grooves and everything.
Well,
in
it has the deep grooves, and they are sharp. They're just bigger.
Right. Okay.
That's the only thing that's different. I mean, the fact that the grooves are deeper and larger, you have less surface to cut you with.
Sure. Well, and then when you take, like, this piece, this is what, for celery? Or
that's a celery.
Okay. And it's got, what's this called, where it's very sharp all the way around it, that tooth?
Tooth.
Houndstooth or something, yeah?
Yeah, it's actually, it has various names, but all of them have the word tooth in them.
So, therefore, for multiple, it's teeth, right?
Right. And
sorry.
The neat thing about it was that when these were sold, they were sold at, when you picked it up and walked out the door with it, you owned it.
Okay.
It was one of the few things
returns?
No returns.
Because?
Because that they could guarantee how it was when they put it in your hand. They couldn't guarantee how it would be an hour after you owned it.
Right.
And one of the things that's neat on the table here, everybody identifies these as ice buckets.
Okay.
Well, when you think about it, one of the enemies of cut glass is extreme of hot and cold.
Right.
It'll actually can crack it, type thing.
Right.
And yes, it was ice of a type thing, but what they did was put water in it and put ice in it that way.
And, you know, there's different patterns, isn't there, for the cut glass. This is what looks like kind of a thistle. I'm not sure if that's correct, but...
You're correct.
Okay.
I mean, you had Comet, you had Sunburst, you had a lot of different names for it. Some of the identification books have simplified it, but they kind of blended things. But the original manufacturers had a very specific name for their lines. And each line was very jealously guarded on whether they would share their design with somebody else, which they did not do.
Well, how about people copying a design?
And they did.
Did they?
And they did.
Yeah. Now, how do they actually do cut glass, though?
The cut glass is formed in sheets and then folded to the position that it's at, type deal. Some of it's molded, and then they cut it once it comes out off the mold. But usually it's a sheet that's folded.
And then what do they do? Take a knife and cut it? I mean, I have no idea.
They have big, large, they use diamond dust even in the 1880s.
Wow.
They use diamond dust, they use crushed garnet, they use corundum, which is nothing more than crushed sapphire, not jewelry grade, of course, but it was a tedious, expensive proposition to make.
Now, they did this after the glass had been formed, so it was cooled?
After it had been formed, it was cool, yes.
So I would think it would also be quite a health risk possibility because of all that little fine dust.
That was one of the things that caused the demise of the industry and one of the reasons why you won't probably ever see it come back to the extent that it was.
Okay.
The other thing was just pure cost. These were high cost items to make.
And they're heavy.
They're heavy. But basically, in the 1870s, late 70s, 1880s, 1890s, up to about 1922, 23, these were de rigueur for a wedding present or an exquisite table setting.
And a lot of it, I guess, over time has probably gotten damaged because it is something that you have to be so careful with. So to find a piece today that's in good condition is pretty unusual.
Especially to find one that's not been repaired.
Yeah.
And that's even more unusual. Yeah, if you look at it from the standpoint of perfection, most of them don't have perfection. probably 95% don't have perfection. If you really challenge it, it doesn't have it. But the value ascertained to the particular pieces, they give leeway for the little flea picks on them.
Mm-hmm.
Not for any major damage, but little ticks.
Little chatters and whatnot,
right,
on it. Yeah.
Right. Now.
So what kind of price?
Well, here's the thing with cut glass. If you look at the distributor's catalogs, they have big sections of cut glass from the 1870s all the way up to 1930.
Yes.
And by 1932, the section of cut glass was almost gone.
Wow.
Because what? You had the Depression and
is that how we got Depression glass?
Depression glass was all moldy glass.
Right, but is that what came in after cut glass? Yeah.
It was cheap, easy to make, and from a distance, it looked just like the cut glass. From a distance.
Right, from a distance. Now, the other thing about cut glass is it has such more brilliance than what Depression glass has.
Well, it's called the sunlight, the table setting.
Right.
It picked up, I don't care whether it's sunlight or candlelight, it sparkled. And the idea was the Belle Epoque area where your jewelry was fine and large, your cut glass was bright and shiny. This is when they changed the china for every setting at a meal. We're not talking about the average household. We're talking about elegance.
And they had dishwashers, right?
Oh, yeah. One of the things I always thought was kind of interesting, I have a maid's contract.
You have a maid's contract?
A maid's contract.
How about that? I haven't seen that.
Oh, I didn't even know I had it. How's that?
Okay.
By looking through these the ephemeral that we have, and I have a maid's contract. And one of the things in the maid's contract is things that come out of her salary.
Okay.
And, of course, they took a little stipend out for meals, I think 12 cents a day.
Okay.
But if she broke, chipped, or damaged the cut glass, woe be to her.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So that made them take extra care in taking care of it. Yeah. Now, what time frame was that? When's that maid's contract from?
1890s.
Wow. And where was that from? Here in the South, or was it from some New York City? New York City.
And one of the interesting things there was that her specific duties was count the knives every day.
Count the knives.
The kitchen knives. Count the knives, not the silverware.
The knives.
Count the knives.
Wow. You know, these are the things you just don't hear anywhere else, and that's why I feel so blessed to have the Vintager with us and be sharing his knowledge right here on the radio. You know, we're here at Sharp Facets Gallery every day, and of course, he's always telling people about things and finding unique and different things about it. So, I want you to stay tuned with us right now. We are going to hear South Carolina news or maybe just the commercials, just see where we're at. I'm not exactly sure. But don't you go away, because we'll be right back.
Gold, gold, more precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds, too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
All right, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, this afternoon. The gallery is closed on Wednesday afternoons. Gracie is being interesting here this afternoon. She's trying to cause some trouble here on the table. But we're back. We're here with the Vintager, my one and only Jeff, right here at the table. We've been talking about cut glass, and now we're going to switch over and talk about art glass. And particularly, we're going to be talking about Robert Held, which we met him many, many years ago, carried his works, and until he retired. And what are you going to tell us about Art Glass this afternoon, Jeff?
Well, number one, the Art Glass started off in Europe, and more particularly in Italy. And it was so sought after that the principality in Italy made them set up on an island to where they could control the production and control the movement of the workers. They didn't want that technology spread throughout Europe.
Wow. Now, yeah. When was that? What type of time frame are you talking about there?
That's 1700s.
Oh, okay. Long
late
time ago.
Late 1600s.
Okay.
And
so they were ostracized and sent to an island.
Literally. And it was Murano was the island's name. And,
okay.
Of course, everybody's familiar with Murano glass. They still make it, and they still make it essentially the same way. Matter of fact, some of the furnaces are exact the same as they were 300 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah, they just rebuild them. Now, the interesting thing is, could we have a Murano operation here in the United States? No, no, no. Asha would shut them down in a minute.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I do not know any major art glass maker that hasn't moved from here in the United States to Canada, one of the places. Bahamas is another place. They usually have moved out of the United States, mostly because doing glass work and blowing glass is not a particularly helpful indoor.
Now, just out of curiosity, what about for small glass blowers, this type of thing?
Oh, I don't believe that it's any major problem. These guys, we're talking have lungs like a whale.
Lungs like a whale.
If you ever wanted to test your diving ability, I'd get a couple of glass blowers because they have to have lungs about the size of an orca.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
I had no idea. See, I learned something, and sometimes I think I know things, and I don't. So,
well, let's just take Robert Held. Robert Held did art glass for 37 years, according to his biography.
Right.
But thinking about Robert Held is that he taught other people.
Yes,
and
he
had interns.
Yep.
And he had art classes.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, he did one. And then Emerald over there would do the next 25.
And so, his name would go on it because he designed it. Yeah.
Right, because he designed it. It was his mythology. He did everything except the actual production.
And and he had a school, too. He's had a couple of schools.
He's had at least three schools that we know of.
Right.
Vancouver, British Columbia,
Calgary.
And of course up here in Asheville.
You know, a lot of people don't realize that he actually learned his craft up there at the Penland School of Crafts in North Carolina.
We do, because we bought from him while he was learning his craft.
Exactly. That was a long, long time ago. He'd always been into art. He had his love of art from his father, who was a sculptor, even though his dad died when he was only six. He did give him the basis. And when he came to, he went to the University of Southern California. He got some assistantships, and he got some prestigious awards. But, he actually learned in 1968 the art of art glass while visiting Penland School of Crafts in North Carolina. And so that's when he returned to Canada and set up schools.
Actually, the biography, like most people's biographies, omit and add things. We knew him when that he would sell the stuff out of the trunk of his car, come by and give us a price when he's on the way down, and maybe it would be $10 when we saw him on the way down to the coast and to the people he sold to, and then what he didn't sell on the way back, it was a $6 item.
Yeah.
It was kind of fun in those days. And the interesting thing was, I never saw him drive.
You never saw him drive? No.
His mother drove everywhere that we ever, every time we ever saw him, his mother drove, and his mother set the prices.
Those were the days, my friend. We thought they'd never end.
No, those pieces that we bought and sold in those days that were tens and twenties dollar pieces and $50 pieces are hundreds and five hundreds and thousand dollar pieces now.
Now, he's even been commissioned to do work for Tiffany.
He did Tiffany's work on the art glass, particularly this this type with the perfumeries and the small scent bottles. He did quite a few of those, and they were all particularly for Tiffany.
Yeah, he's done some beautiful work, and he certainly has perfected his art. Now, the other thing about it, though, somewhere along in there, he got divorced, right?
Yes.
And the problem is that this is where he went into retirement. And now for 2 years. Isn't this interesting, folks? And now he's back. He decided he'd go back to it. He's changed some of the stuff the way he's doing it now, though, today.
He's changed it, but he's he had to change it from the to the aspect that he sold his molds and everything to the college that he was working with. So he had to change them. They're not markedly different, but they are different.
Right.
And the materials are a lot heavier. Let's just go into art glass as such. People have seen lots of glass with color on the glass and things, but you can flash color on the glass.
Just really on the surface?
It's just on the surface, and eventually it will chip, peel, and rub off, and especially scratch off from just rubbing up against anything else. Art glass, the color is all the way through the glass. That's number one. Number two, the different colors on the glass are applique of glass on glass.
So it really melts into the glass.
It's melted right into the glass and bonded into the glass, and then the final stage is polished. And it.
And all while this, the glass blowing that we see on TV and everything is going on, is that right?
All the while it's hot.
Hot.
If you look at the side of a glass that's art glass, you'll see ripples. I don't care if it's a round jug like this one or a square one like this one. If you look close enough, you'll see the ripples. And that's the movement of the glass as it's being formed into whatever shape that it's being formed. One of the easiest forms is, of course, the round. That's the traditional one. And his inspiration for his early designs, by the way, were apothecary glass. If you look at this and just imagine it a little smaller, mm-hmm. It's nothing more than a medicine bottle colored up and added some decor to.
And all you need is a cork on it there.
All you need is a cork. And if you remember, the original ones we had.
Had a cork. Yep.
So his inspiration originally was the apothecary bottles that were blown from the early 1700s all the way up to the 1920s for pharmaceutical supplies.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. So this is now prices today on Robert Held. I mean, look at this piece. You wanted to talk, I think, a little bit about that piece right there. That's a really unique piece.
This particular design with the tulips, he did actually for a casino in Las Vegas. And in the casino is these huge chandeliers that are formed from art glass. I mean, we're talking things that are 10, 12 feet wide that weigh 3 or 4 tons, 6,000 pounds of chandelier. And one of the themes that the owner of the casino wanted was tulips.
Okay.
and this was the result of it.
Wow.
This particular piece, new, sold for about $2,000.
Wow.
How about that?
What do we have on it?
About $900.
About $900. And we are getting ready to tell you about a special on art glass this week at Sharp Facets Gallery and on cut glass. But let's hear a quick word from our sponsors. We'll be right back. And don't turn that dial, because we got specials and we got more info from my sweetie, the one and only Jeff Eller, the Vintager, right here on WCRS.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here this afternoon with the Vintager, Jeff Eller, talking about art glass, and we've talked about cut glass. We're going to talk some more about art glass. I hope you're on our Facebook page, WCRS.AM Radio, because you can see the items that we're actually talking about. Emerald has posted pictures. She's also posted some video clips, so we're going to be doing this. And then after 5 o'clock, we're going to do a Facebook Live right here on WCRS.AM Radio. We've got some super specials that are going to be going on during the rest of the week, and we thought we would just go live with it at 5. So you keep it right here on WCRS. Join us on our Facebook page, WCRS.AM Radio. Okay, well, Jeff, we've been talking about Robert Held and all the wonderful things that he has done. You were talking about this beautiful tulip vase that has white opaque tulips in the vase, as well as the pretty color that you can see through. One of the things about art glass, though, it always looks so spectacular when it has light on it. It just changes and comes to life, doesn't it?
Well, that's the idea, and the fact that it has unique colors.
Right.
And the Murano, the fact that they could make glass and they could make objects of glass never was a big deal. The color was a big deal.
Yeah, Murano glass is very beautiful.
Very beautiful, and the colors are vibrant and really jump at you. And most people don't realize that the chemical industry as such came into being because it created dyes.
Okay.
The dye market was huge, and the public wanted something other than their basic clothing to be the color of whatever sheep's wool was or the cotton was. I mean, the concept of dyed bright dyes and vibrant colors for clothing or glass and things have always been around from the earliest days. But it took specific artists to come up with a mythology of making the glass to where they can make the same color over and over again and make it next week, next year, next month, the same as the present one.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert Held, in the 1970s and the early 80s, came up with a system of producing certain colors. The cinnamon type colors was his trademark.
Mm-hmm.
And then he became to where he's skillful enough to put colors like polka dots almost, or like jelly beans, into the glass to where they didn't all run together. It was all separate and equal color separation. And he was the first glass manufacturer that Tiffany was willing to put their label on from the 1930s to the 1970s, late 70s.
Wow. So he would have been in the late 70s.
He started, Tiffany didn't have somebody from 1931 or 32 mm-hmm. all the way to 79.
Okay.
And then they bought a little bit from Robert Held, and then he became their label in the mid-80s.
So to have a piece of Robert Held glass, you're really holding something that's extra special. The name and the processes and the fact that he did work for Tiffany's.
Did work for Tiffany's. He did work for the big casinos. He did work for almost any glass sculpture that you can think of. He had a part into or developed how to do it. From the casinos of Mohegan in Connecticut to the casinos in Las Vegas. I mean, he did very, very well with the new casinos that wanted elegance.
Yeah. And all the while being in Canada.
Right.
I mean, that's the most that's an interesting point to me. Not the most interesting, but that's, I think, a very interesting point is that he would come over here to the United States when we used to buy from him after he became successful and went back to Canada. There actually was a depot that things would be shipped from here in the United States, but it went across the line and then came down and then they distributed. But none of it was actually made here in the United States, even though he is an American.
Well, one of the interesting things is the fact that while he was a great artist, and he is, his business acumen come from his mother first.
Right.
And then his first wife.
Right.
I mean, they came up and made him a household name in elegant households around the world, where if he left on his own, he'd probably still be driving around selling it out of the trunk of his car.
Probably. I remember meeting his first wife, Chris. She was always out there selling.
She never stopped.
Yeah, that's right.
It was, "Hi, I'm Chris, and
yes,
I have something that would really look nice in your place. And you got a window here that it would really look nice in." And when we were in the mall store, it was, "You could put this in the counters and it would be a accent to your jewelry." I mean, yeah. It was, I don't believe she ever had a meal at a restaurant that she didn't sell.
That she wasn't selling.
Right.
Yeah.
She was a selling machine. And she is the one that came up with the idea of having the distribution point here in the United States.
Was she? Yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about, as we get to the top of the hour here, we wanted to talk about this tulip vase and how he got the colors in the things right here. Can you tell us about, didn't you want to talk about a little bit about how
Sure.
the colors were done on that?
Well, the tulip vase was done at the request of the owner of the casino in Las Vegas. And this kind of, the color of the vase, which is kind of a cinnamon, they color matched the casino's chandelier, and this is one of the things that was sold through Tiffany's also. And what he came up with is, normally if you put white on any color, either the white dominates the color and you don't see the background color, or vice versa, the background color dominates the white and you don't see white, you see a variation of white.
Mm-hmm.
And he came up with a dye mixture for the glass. That's proprietary to where I'm sure that dies with him. Dye mixture of the glass for the white to where it could be opaque, not like milk glass,
mm-hmm.
much brighter than milk glass, and also bond with the background glass to where it doesn't bleed through.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's a beautiful piece. And what we wanted to tell you as we're getting ready to be here at the top of the hour, that for the rest of the week here at Sharp Facets Gallery, we're closed this afternoon. So Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and you are listening to WCRS right here in Greenwood, all of the Robert Held art glass is going to be half off.
Right.
Right? And our cut glass is going to be half off. So if you have wanted to own a piece of art glass, cut glass, you need to come see them this week here at Sharp Facets Gallery. We've got a beautiful collection, all different sizes and price ranges, but it's all half off this week. Now, we're going to come back in just a minute with Facebook Live and do a little bit more with Facebook Live, let you see some of the pieces. Do want to tell you about a couple of pieces before we go off, because these are going to be on Super Special 2. We have a huge collection, Jeff, of antique and vintage watches. And they are one of the hottest things on the market, aren't they, for fashion accessories for men and for women. And one of the watches that we have is this Bulova that is a automatic, meaning you never have to wind it, you never have to replace the battery. It's 14 karat gold, the watch is, and it's got a leather band. It's regular $16.95. It's from 1958. Our super special on this watch for the week is $650. And we have pictures, I think Emerald is uploading to our Facebook page. And we're going to do Facebook Live in just a minute. Jeff, did you want to say anything about this cool piece here?
Well, this particular watch, when it was made, was one of the more accurate watches in the world. I mean, everybody thinks of Rolex in this area when they think of accuracy of watches. But the Rolex, while it's a very fine watch, was no more accurate than this watch. This watch had a certain elegance with it that elicited the title Fifth Avenue.
That's right. And not only that, it's got the glow in the dark so you can see the hands at
night.
Oh,
yeah, it's radium. It's radium-painted hands. I mean, they don't do that anymore either.
Yeah, but it's cool. It's not going to hurt you. It's not going to hurt you. Plus, doesn't it come with this box?
Yes.
Yes.
And we have the original box.
Right.
I mean,
that's what I was going to tell him. Fifth, that says Bulova, Fifth Avenue.
Right.
Pretty cool.
It just exudes elegance.
That's right. So Christmas is coming, folks. You know, we're already thinking about it. As of the 1st of October, I figured up it's down to 86 days till Christmas. So I want you to know that this watch would be an excellent Christmas gift, graduation gift. You got to come by and see it. That's a fabulous price on that. $650 for that one. We also have, we'll be posting pictures on Facebook, sapphire and diamond bangle. It's a bangle. It's got sapphire, diamond, a really lovely piece. We're going to talk more about it in the Facebook Live. It is a regular $23.95. It is on an unbelievable special for our feature of the week. It's going to be $9.99 for that one. And then we've got these beautiful sapphire hoop earrings that match up with it. They are on special for $3.45. They're $9.99, $3.45. Combo price on those two pieces would be $13.45, but the vintager said, oh no, $1,150 for the combo. That's another feature of the week right here at Sharp Facets Gallery. That will be going on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Check out our Facebook page, WCRS.AM Radio. We're coming back. We're going to take a 5-minute break, but check us out on Facebook, WCRS.AM Radio. We will be live on Facebook, not on the radio, but on Facebook, WCRS.AM Radio. Hey, Jeff, Mr. Vintager, thanks for joining me this afternoon.
It was fun.
That's right. We
always
learned a
like
lot.
To show off beautiful things.
Absolutely. And we did it right here on the radio. Who knew you could do stuff like this? Hey, this is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.